The occupation of Europe was nearly complete by mid-1940. Nazi soldiers goose-stepped down the Champs-Élysées in Paris. The only bright spot? The miracle of Dunkirk, May 27th to June 4th, 1940. 800 boats managed to evacuate 338,000 British, Belgian, and French troops across the Channel to England. Britain's fiery Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, declared, "We must be very careful not to assign to this deliverance the attributes of a victory. Wars are not won by evacuations." But then Churchill added, "But there was a victory inside this deliverance." That was the only good news anywhere for those who valued freedom. A month after Dunkirk, the air war, the Battle of Britain, began. The Battle of Britain lasted from July 1940 through the end of October. The Royal Air Force, at great loss, prevented Germany from gaining air superiority such that the Germans could invade England by crossing the Channel. That stormy bit of sea, only 20 miles wide at Dover, protected their island. Meanwhile, the Luftwaffe mercilessly bombed major English cities. Winston Churchill defiantly declared, "We shall never surrender." Where were we? Americans did not want to get involved. In addition to those in the United States who actually admired Mussolini and Hitler, there were many more who were simply non-interventionists. They did not want to see American lives shed in another global war. President Franklin Roosevelt was an interventionist. On January 6, 1941, FDR delivered his State of the Union speech. These are some excerpts from his powerful address. "The democratic way of life is at this moment being directly assailed in every part of the world. During 16 long months, this assault has blotted out the whole pattern of democratic life in an appalling number of independent nations, great and small. The assailants are still on the march, threatening other nations, great and small. Therefore, as your president, performing my constitutional duty to give to the Congress information of the State of the Union, I find it unhappily necessary to report that the future and safety of our country and of our democracy are overwhelmingly involved in events far beyond our borders." President Roosevelt continued, "In the future days which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want. The fourth is freedom from fear. That is no vision of a distant millennium. It is a definitive basis for a kind of world attainable in our time and generation. That kind of world is the very antithesis of the so-called new order of tyranny." On January 23, 1941, just days after Roosevelt gave his Four Freedoms speech, America's national hero, Charles Lindbergh, testified before Congress. Lindbergh, of course, flew solo and nonstop across the Atlantic in 1927. He had made several trips to Nazi Germany from 1936 to 1938. He was the leader and the spokesman for American non-interventionists. He urged Congress to negotiate a neutrality pact with Nazi Germany. Regardless of Lindbergh, days later, on February 8, 1941, the U.S. House passed the Lend-Lease Act. President Roosevelt signed the bill on March 11th. On June 22, 1941, Hitler broke his non-aggression pact with Stalin and invaded the Soviet Union. The Nazis began the mass slaughter of the Jews of Eastern Europe. In late October, with the Germans deep within the Soviet Union, Franklin Roosevelt approved $1 billion of aid to the Soviets. The enemy of the Nazis is a friend of ours. It was simple, but complicated. One day later, on October 31, 1941, a German U-boat sank the USS Reuben James, claiming the lives of 100 American sailors of the United States Navy. Just over a month later, on December 7, 1941, Imperial Japan, while appearing to negotiate peace in Washington, struck without warning at our naval base at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Was it luck that the U.S. aircraft carriers were not at Pearl Harbor, or was it divine intervention? In any case, the eagle had been roused, and the United States mobilized for war.